Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today as we are each Sunday at noon with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condominium and HOA questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. And again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking the Email the Show tab.
And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our seminars, and see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites as well.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that you would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show. You can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And of course, if you'd like to call our law firm, Glazer & Associates, directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call us at 877 the number 4 Condo Craze. Again, that's 877 the number 4 Condo Craze. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last show, our special guest was Julio Rabina, who, as our listeners know, was a former member of the Florida House of Representatives and is now running for a seat on the Miami-Dade County Commission on May 24th. Julio Rabina was telling us his thoughts about how to turn the economy around in Miami-Dade and how we can hopefully kickstart the housing market once again. But I understand that some god-awful news was released this week that put a damper on the housing market once again.
Yeah, Karen, first, again, I want to thank Mr. Rabina for spending an hour with us last week here on Condo Craze and HOAs. And I really wish him the best of luck on May 24th. He's a real good guy. And again, I always thought that he got it when it came to condo and HOA legislation. And you're right. Just when we thought that the housing market may be showing some signs of an uptick, there was an article in the papers this week that says if you thought the housing crisis was bad, just wait, because it's about to get even worse. A new report released this week shows that housing prices are falling at their fastest rate since the collapse of Lehman Brothers, believe it or not. Average home prices are down 8% from, again, just from a year ago, 3% over the last quarter, and are falling still at about 1% per month. When is it going to get better?
Yeah, and to add fuel to the fire, it seems like a percentage of homeowners who are now upside down in their home, that number has rocketed up to 28%, a new high.
It's amazing.
But this is actually a national figure, and I'm guessing that the actual number here in South Florida is pretty higher,
right,
probably 50% or something like that.
And I would absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, the group that did this study is called Zillow, and they refer to the 16 million homeowners who are upside down on their homes as zombie home owners, who most likely will never have any equity in their home at all.
Yeah, it's amazing because the study says that in Miami, we are now back to prices seen in the 1980s when Miami Vice was on the air. And the problem is that the banks have foreclosed on hundreds of thousands of homes and still have plenty to go. So the available inventory won't be sold out for years to come. Isn't that right, Crockett?
That's right, Tubby. Tubbs.
not anymore. He's lost weight.
And as we were saying last week, the only people that are going to be able to buy any of this inventory are people who have jobs. If the unemployment rate doesn't start inching down, the inventory will remain high, and the occupancy rates at our condos and HOAs will remain high as well.
Yeah, I think, like we said last week, it's all about the J-O-B-S, jobs, and jobs stir the economy. And certainly the housing market and the political arena will be real interesting in my view over the next few months because no doubt about it, President Obama's approval rating had an uptick the past 2 weeks because we got bin Laden. But the real question is, how long is that bump in the polls going to last? If the economy stays flat and gas still hovers around $4 a gallon, and if history is our guide here when it comes to election time, it's always about the economy. Even if you were initially a popular president during a time of war, Just look at Bush Sr. if you want a good example. And Scott, of course, is our in-house liberal here at Condo Craze and HOAs. And I'm just wondering, Scott, how are you going to cope with having to refer to the president as Mr. Trump?
You got to be kidding me, right? Come on, Donald Trump has a better chance of starting for the Heat tonight than he does of becoming the president.
I wish he would.
I mean, yeah. Eric, even that motley crew of beauties that the Republicans are lining up right now, they look like the chicks at prom, you know, that haven't been asked to dance yet. They're just wallflowers. Come on, boss. You know what's up.
Let's put it this way. I got to admit, Obama did kind of turn his agenda around a little bit. You know, after all, Guantanamo's still open. We're not having civilian trials for terrorists like he originally fought for. We're still in Afghanistan getting terrorists 3 years after Obama was elected. We obtained much of the information we needed to get bin Laden from these advanced interrogation techniques he wanted to do away with. The rich still got their tax breaks. You know, there's no question that he had no choice but to move forward toward the right. I'll give him that. And the truth is, if gas is even down to $3.50 a gallon and unemployment gets down below 8%, he's going to be tough to beat, no question about it.
You know, from the inflection in your voice, it sounds like you don't agree with some of those things, but you actually agree with every single one of those things.
I agree with all of those things, but it was difficult to get him to move towards the right. That's a problem. But I think he's now finally getting it, at least somewhat. But back to the housing crisis for a moment, because if you think you're going to solve all your housing problems by simply deciding to rent instead of own, you may want to hear what else was reported in the news this week. Over the last few years, rental affordability has become a widespread problem in the U.S. as rent levels grew much faster than income has grown. And, of course, which area of the United States do you think is deemed the worst in terms of affordable rental units? You'll both never guess.
Well, I'm guessing that our listeners will know the answer to this one.
Pretty easy, right? That's right. Miami has the greatest share of residents who pay more than half of their income in the entire nation to rent.
Wow.
34.2% of people who rent in Miami pay more than half of their income to rent, believe it or not.
Hey, you know, boss, I rent. So, maybe a raise is overdue here.
I'm guessing about 80% of your income goes to rent.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, the median gross income in Miami, gross rent, I should say, in Miami is $1,040, and the median household income is $31,900. So, again, that equates to 34.2% of someone's salary now going to rent. I also heard the other day with gas prices up so high, the average person is spending about 9% on gasoline
now.
So if you take rent and gasoline, over 40% of someone's income already is just going to those two items.
No,
it's pretty scary.
No room for fun. I guess some people think it's still better to pay rent than it is to keep paying a mortgage on a home that continues to lose value year after year.
Yeah. Well, years ago, probably no question about it, it paid to buy rather than rent because prices were always inching up. But today, what once was a good strategy has obviously turned into an upside-down nightmare for millions of Americans throughout the U.S. But hopefully with time, prices will begin bouncing back. How about we take our first call of the day, Debbie from Lake Worth. How are you, Debbie?
Hey, I'm fine, Eric. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. Eric, can you hear me?
I sure can. How can we help you?
Hey, I have two questions. My first one is, I went to our condo association office and requested in writing to have some copies of the association bank accounts and our attorney call log with the fees that we have paid in the past few months. And I got an email from the office saying that I could come in and view these documents at a certain time on a certain date. So my question is, I requested copies. Do they have to give me, I know I have to pay for the copies, but do they have to, according to the statute, give me copies or just let me view them?
You are entitled to make copies of those documents and pay the cost of them if there is a cost. That's correct.
Okay.
And that cost
but
is
they
reasonable.
Don't have. Okay. They, do I have to go in and make it? Have the appointment, go in, have them viewed, or do they have to have them ready for me, copied?
They do not have to have them ready, already copied for you in advance of getting there. There's no problem with you going in, tabbing the pages that you actually want, and then having those copies made. But they don't know what you want exactly in advance, so it's better to go there, tell them the records that you want, put a little sticky on the pages that you want photocopied or something like that to mark them, and then they can make copies for you. And again, that's at your
cost. Well, I actually, in my request, specified the ones that I wanted, but Okay, so you're saying they, if I specifically told them what I wanted, they don't have to give me the copies.
Yeah, when correct? You get there, they can make copies for you. As long as at the end of the day you okay. walk away with the copies, you're good.
Okay. Okay. And then the second question, I'm sorry, well, just one more real quick.
Sure.
In reference to our common areas, and namely the auditorium in our community, do unit owners have to get permission from an activity, a self-appointed activities director and chairman that just so happens to be the president of the association to use those facilities?
To use the actual auditorium? They, well, again, they can
yes.
make reasonable rules regarding the use of the common areas. That can mm-hmm. always be done. And in terms of like party rooms and things of that nature, they can charge you the actual cost that it would cost the association to give you that room for a couple of hours. For example, the cost of cleanup. Typically when mm-hmm. the associations, they rent out a party room. It's a common mm-hmm. element, so they have the right to like rent it out for you for a few hours, but you're going to pay the actual costs that it cost them for them to give it to you for those couple of hours, meaning whatever
yeah.
electric, whatever cleanup crew it's going to cost, you know, whatever it may cost for them to actually allow you to use it for that time.
Well, what happened, some of the residents wanted to have a Memorial Day picnic, and because there's so many elderly people, it would be too hot, so we were going to have it in the auditorium. There was nothing on the calendar, but this self-appointed director, chairman, president, decided that, no, the people couldn't do that. So now he's having one in the auditorium
well,
on that day.
Let's do this. I'd love to take a look at your condo doc, so if you want, give us a call
okay.
in the office, 954-983-1112. I'd be glad to go over your condo docs with you again, 954-983-1112, and we'll compare that to the statute and see what we can do for you.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you so much, Eric. I love your show.
Thank you very much,
Debbie.
Appreciate
okay.
it. All right. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. How about we do this, considering it's a quarter after? Let's take our first break, and when we get back, still lots to talk about. Yet another legal constitutional challenge to a condominium law that many condo boards are taking advantage of, but in my opinion will be prohibited from using in the future. We'll take calls from our listeners about the dismal housing market and expensive rental market. We're going to talk about a sports fan in Tampa that won't back down to his HOA's demands that he stopped displaying his love for his hockey team. And we'll take your questions about everything and anything else that has to do with problems in your condo or HOA community. Give us a call again, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here with Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, anything on condominiums or HOA law. We do have Susan from Lake Worth on the line. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, I've called you before about a neighbor of mine who was told to pay her mortgage, not her HOA.
Right.
They served her with papers. They gave her 20 days. She didn't respond. Now she just got another letter. So I just want to know what happens now.
Well, you're saying the HOA served her with papers?
Yes.
Yeah, it would be important to know what kind of papers we're talking about because under the law, under 720, the first letter that she would have gotten from the HOA would be a letter that says you're delinquent. And then if you don't pay up, we're going to file a lien against your property. The next correspondence that she would have gotten would have been, hey, here's a copy of the lien. If you don't pay that within 45 days, we're actually filing a foreclosure. So the question mm-hmm. is, did that 45-day period now pass, and did she just get served with an actual summons and complaint? Because if she just got served with that, now a 20-day clock is ticking. So
well, somebody actually came to her door, banged on it, and said you have 20 days, she didn't respond.
That means,
now she just got a letter from the attorney.
Well, that means the almighty process server has appeared at her home and served her with a summons and complaint. She had 20
yes.
days to respond. If she does not do that, then the HOA is going to wind up getting a default judgment against her, and that property is going to be sold at a foreclosure sale, and she's going to have to get out because the association is going to get what's called a writ of possession to the property. So if she hasn't contacted a lawyer by now, probably a good time to do so.
So you definitely recommend getting a lawyer, absolutely.
Unless she wants to be living in a box underneath I-95 somewhere, yeah, absolutely. Probably a good time. No, but it's a little late in the game. Yes, she should start looking into it immediately, if not sooner. I hope that answers
your
question,
And I love your
Susan.
Show. It's the best.
Thank you, Susan. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You got it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Lake Worth is on fire today. Three out of three calls from Lake Worth. How about Tom from Lake Worth?
Hi. How are you?
How are you, Tom?
Okay, I'm good. I have a leak in my ceiling in the bathroom in the condo that was caused by a leaky bathtub from the apartment upstairs.
So just use the other bathroom. See the practical advice we give on the show? You understand?
Well, thanks for your help.
How can we help you? Yes.
So at any rate, the condo association is claiming they don't pay those type, and my insurance company is telling me, and they showed me the statute where that's common property. The drywall in the ceiling of my bathroom is common property, and the condo association should be paying for my damage.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, sitting next to me today is Sean Virtue, our property guru, and he will tell you that, yes, you got to take a look at the condominium documents, and the condominium documents make that ceiling a common element. Then, yes, your condominium does have to make the repair, even though they did not cause the damage. The association may have a claim against the person that actually caused that damage, and they may be entitled to some sort of subrogation. But, yes, the condo has to repair the common elements. No two ways about it.
Okay? And if they just deny, then am I looking at small claims court?
Yeah, absolutely. You certainly may well be. That's exactly right. Okay? And if you have a question about it, call us at the office, 954-983-1112. And what we can do is take a look at your condo docs and let you know just what that ceiling is.
Okay, great. Okay? Thanks for your help. I appreciate it. And your show.
Thank you very much, Tom. Much appreciated. All right. Staying north. How about Selena from West Palm Beach?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Selena.
We live in a community with an HOA, have a home. We own a home. We're expanding our lanai. I screened in the lanai, and we have been okayed for that. But the previous owner made a section outside of it, a cement section for a barbecue. It's about an 8x8 piece.
Right.
And they are not allowing us to put the pavers that we're putting inside the lanai outside in that section because the previous owner was not supposed to do that.
How many years is it like
that? It is there, and we wanted to have it the same as the inside.
How many?
What rights do we have?
Well, let me ask you, how many years was it like that? How many years has it already been in the condition that it's in from the prior owner?
The board never made the decision. How many years?
Well, I guess the board has known about it, though, for many years at this point, right?
Maybe 3 years.
Right. Well, it's possible that they might have waived their right to do anything about it at this point. Again, in this circumstance, again, unfortunately, oftentimes we have to take a look at the governing documents to actually see what your governing documents say. Sometimes, even in communities that you may think that there's the right for an architectural committee to review things and to give you approval or not, but the actual right to have an architectural committee may not even appear in the documents. So that's something, again, that requires us to take a look at your documents, take an actual look at a picture maybe that you can take of the property and send it to us, and then we can give you a more intelligent answer. Okay?
Thanks, Selena. So,
thank you, Selena. Again, call us at the office, 954-983-1112. All right, who else we got? Moving south, Bart from Fort Lauderdale. How are you, Bart?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Okay, how can we help you?
Yes, hi. I have a question. I live in a two-story building, and I'm in the first floor. And apparently when these buildings were built, the ceilings, or what separates me from the second unit, it's not concrete. It's 4x4s or whatever.
Okay.
And you know, I get this horrible noise from their unit on a constant basis.
Right.
And I can hear their every footstep.
Right. Okay. Is it because of something out of the ordinary that they're doing? In other words, is it playing loud music at night? Or is it just they're living normally upstairs, just that you hear every single footstep?
I hear every single footstep. I mean, it just drives me crazy. I mean, at night, when I have a two and a half year old, you know, I try to when I'm trying to put him to bed.
Right. I
and
was involved.
Walk.
Yeah, I was involved in a case. I'd say about 7-8 years ago, where unquestionably, I represented the association, but the plaintiff came forward with proof and very legitimate proof that there was an actual structural problem with the condominium walls, the way they were constructed, that caused the noise in the upstairs unit to reverberate into the unit downstairs. And I remember the day that we were testing it, we just had somebody drop a set of keys on the kitchen floor upstairs while I was downstairs in the unit on the first floor. And I swear, just by dropping a set of keys, it sounded like there was an explosion upstairs. And sure enough, it was pretty clear that there was a problem with the way that unit was constructed. And if you can prove that to the association, then, again, you may have to get your own acoustical experts or your own engineer. But if you can prove that to the association, yeah, they're going to have to do something to fix that common area so that your home is livable. Okay? But again,
well, because they're telling us it's not there. It's not on them to soundproof.
It's not a question of soundproofing. If there's actually a structural problem with the way the building has been constructed, and it creates a situation where the noise upstairs is reverberating to your unit downstairs at a decibel level that can even be in violation of code, because I remember when they were testing it, we were actually even using decibel meters, then they're going to have to fix it, like it or not. Okay, and there's ways that it can be fixed. You can insulate a ceiling, you can insulate a floor, so there's actually ways to actually get it done. I hope that answers your question, Bart.
So can you tell me the first step I should go about as far as getting someone to look at it?
Yeah, you're going to have to get an engineer to probably take a look at it. And if you'd like some names of engineers, give us a call in our office, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. Time to take a break. Again, still taking your calls.
Lots of calls.
Phones are on fire. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Our phone lines are all lit up. We're taking your calls. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. The number to call, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Hey, Karen, before we go to our next call, how about, as Scott just reminded me, let's wish our guest host, also who's with us most of the time, Christy Phillips, speedy recovery. Christy just got out of the hospital. Something about broken toes or something like that.
Oh.
I'm not sure what. I think she actually kicked opposing counsel.
No,
or something
it's from
like
her wonderful shoes she wears.
Yes.
And she loves her shoes, but she doesn't want to give them up, and now it's causing her problems.
Could be that, but we wish Christy a speedy recovery and look forward to hearing her voice again really soon. How about we get Erica from Boca Raton?
Hello?
Hi, Erica. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Just quickly, I'm part of a condo board, and we've been dealing with a condo owner who's been delinquent for 3 years for his HOAs.
Right.
He was in foreclosure for over two years.
Right.
And he just passed away about a month ago. We haven't heard from his family. His car is still here. We have no access to his place because he would never give us a key. And now the lights keep on going on and off. So we just don't know where to go anymore. We do have a lien on it. We've had a lien for 2 years.
Right.
Well, you know, if your lien was put on it 2 years ago, it's probably no good anymore. Do you guys have counsel?
Well, no, that's what he kept on saying, I'm going to refinance. I'm talking to the bank. I'm talking to the bank.
I can guarantee you he's no longer refinancing.
No, I know.
All right. You know, you might have a lien on his property that you filed a few years ago, but that lien expired after a year. You guys were never in the foreclosure process because you would actually need to file a lawsuit to foreclose on the property. It sounds like you guys need to hire an attorney to basically push this through. And, you know, that's what we do at our office, Eric. Isn't that right?
I think so. I think we handled once a foreclosure case, right? I think so.
Yeah. It was against a widow and her children or something.
Right. Yeah. Give us a call at the office, 954-983-1112. Unfortunately, because the gentleman passed away, all of a sudden what may have been an easy foreclosure process has now taken on perhaps a more difficult role.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to get a court-appointed attorney to basically represent the man's estate, unless you know the family has anybody that is appointed as the
we're trying to get a hold of the family, and
at this point. Respectfully, it's probably something beyond the scope of what the board can probably do at this point.
Right.
So, again, not to sell the services of counsel, but at this point, again, because you're now talking about a potential probate situation, then and it seems as if the bank may have already started foreclosure on the unit. Yeah, then the easier way may be to go after the bank and try to see if they can speed up their foreclosure process, you know, and maybe leave the headache to them. But, again, it's something that you're probably going to need counsel for at this point. An option is not to sit back and wait it out for another 3 years.
Oh, we can't. Oh, right. No, we can't. We've been too nice because the gentleman had cancer,
right.
And then he was fine, and then
he showed you, didn't he, right? That's for being nice.
Well, he's probably laughing silly, but the poor guy was, well, he's in a better place.
Well, thanks for the call, Erica. If we can help you, let us know.
Thank you.
Okay. How about we go to Susan in Boca? Susan? Hello, Susan, you there? All right, how about we go to Ken in Lake Worth?
Hello?
Ken, is that you?
Hello?
How are you, Ken?
Good. I had a similar question this along the same vein about liens, delinquencies.
Sure.
We're getting to, I think, a critical point where I am, where we have delinquencies over $200,000 right now.
That sounds like a lot of money.
$9,000, $10,000.
How large is your community?
4 or 5 years.
How large is your community? How many units?
960.
960 units.
Right.
And if respectfully, you're first getting around to thinking about, you know, hiring counsel now to go after foreclosures.
Doing something because nothing seems to be getting done around here.
Well, again, that's something that I think Scott has said time and time again. That's what we do. Call us at 954-983-1112. 954-983-1112.
Wait a minute. Let me write that down again.
Sure.
Give me that again.
954-983-1112.
Yeah, and let me just state something. You know, we're not going to give out, you know, broad-based advice to condos on how to deal with their foreclosure problems just because every condo is different.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have 960 units at your place. Some place might have 10, and the advice we give to you is probably not going to be the same as some place that has a lot fewer units.
Absolutely. Although I'll say this in general, you know, the banks are slow to actually get these cases moving, whereas if a condo association doesn't mind taking back title to a unit, then you guys are not bound by anything that's going on in the court right now in terms of moratoriums. The bank had a moratorium. They weren't actually pursuing foreclosures. None of that applies to you. A condo association or an HOA can get a final judgment against the unit owner and get title back to the unit a lot faster, and I mean a lot faster, than a bank can actually do it. So again, if your association wants to actually get back title to a unit and perhaps rent out the unit, then that's something that can be accomplished quickly. So, again, any questions, give us a call, 954-983-1112, okay?
And just quickly, I think another thing that's starting to crop up is reverse mortgages. Where people, you know, they're way behind and it's exceeded their value.
Right.
And they're not going to pay their fees either.
Yeah, exactly. That's something that is popping up, and it's something that we're probably going to wind up doing at least a segment of the show about at a later date.
Yeah.
Okay? Thank you for the call, Ken. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, I see we got Susan back from Boca. Susan, you there now?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Susan, how can we help you?
Hi, I'm living with my 83-year-old mother who's renting an apartment from somebody in New Jersey. My mother's 83 years old. And we have had no water in the shower. It's broken. You can't take a bath, you can't take a shower for days. Now, the woman who she's renting to, we pay the check every month to Century Village Real Estate. She's 87 years old. She has a son and a daughter, and whenever the whole apartment is in disrepair.
Right.
Everything is broken.
Okay, so this is basically like a landlord-tenant type of situation.
Not so much
a condominium law situation.
Somebody told me to go to a lawyer, but unfortunately I'm indigent, and I cannot get a lawyer to write a letter. My real estate broker, who sold me the, he didn't sell me, read the apartment to me, said, get a lawyer to write a letter, and within 72 hours, you'll see that they'll fix something. What? Now, first of all, it's disgusting not having a shower, but the stove is broken. The slats in the windows are broken. The toilet is broken.
All right, hold on,
Everything is broken.
I'm getting the feeling
of a lot. And her son, they said, don't call the mother. They said,
Susan.
All right, let's cut Susan off, okay? And we'll answer Susan's question after we cut her off. Okay. Boy, Susan is hot under the collar. Anyway, if Susan is still listening, what you need to do, Susan, is write the landlord a letter, certified mail, return receipt requested, giving them 7 days to correct the problem, advising them that the unit is unlivable, and unless the problem is fixed within 7 days, you're going to start withholding rent. And you should send that by certified mail, return receipt requested. And typically when a landlord hears that rent is going to be withheld and they're not going to get paid, that normally gets things fixed. Okay? I hope Susan was able to hear that. And how about we go to Steve in Tamarack? How are you, Steve? How are you, Steve?
Great. I'm a renter in a small condominium. As Rodney Dangerfield said, I can't get no respect.
Okay. How come you can't get respect?
Well, because the mansion company doesn't want to talk to renters. My landlord's not much help because in another condominium on the beach, he had his tenant murder somebody 3 weeks ago, so he's busy. I can't get in. And the president has been in office for like 2 years. There hasn't been a meeting in 9 months. We can't get anything changed over here. And he really doesn't care about this condominium anymore.
Well, let me
he wants out, but I don't see any meeting happening.
Well, let me ask you this. As a renter, are you being prohibited from doing anything that a unit owner can do with the property?
No. In fact, I'm doing more than 90% of the units care about this place. I've been keeping the skateboarders out, the drug people out. I've been, calling the police when people are hitting off fire extinguishers in the pool area. I'm the only guy securing this place. If I wasn't here, this place would be a dump.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're putting in your time, but as long as they're treating you basically the same as a unit owner, not much more you could be complaining about. There's actually
no. They treat me worse. They won't talk to me. So if I was, at least they talk to me at the mansion club. They won't talk to me. My president here doesn't want to have anything to do with me. Although I'm the one that's, keeping this place secure and viable.
Well, Steve, I don't know if your landlord wants to give you some sort of power of attorney to represent his interests as the, member of the association that can voice his opinion. But outside of that, there's really nothing that the board has to do to, listen to you,
right? And if your unit owner can actually appoint you as their representative to get copies of records and things of that nature. But other than that,
I've asked that when I was in the office with him at the mansion company, and they said they can't do that for some reason. I can't be appointed like the board meetings or anything.
No, hold on. You could be appointed by you can be the authorized representative of the unit owner to actually get copies of records of condo records that you can do. That's in the statute. Okay. So that's something you can do. But, Steve, unfortunately, we need to take our last break. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right. Lots of people have asked me when the next Condo Craze board member certification course is. And as we all know, South Florida tends to become somewhat of a ghost town during the quickly approaching summer months. So I decided it's probably best to let the heat of the summer pass us by before starting the course all over again at the Hard Rock Hotel. However, as we said many times on the show before, we could bring the course to your community if you have the proper facilities to host the course, including seating for at least 100 guests. And if you're interested in having us bring the Condo Craze board certification course to you and you have the necessary facilities, give us a call at our law office at Glazer & Associates. Again, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. And let's see if we can get together and teach the course at your community.
And by the way, I understand that the Florida legislature passed some new legislation last week that actually affects our Condo Craze board certification course.
Yeah, they sure did, Karen. We always had questions about whether or not somebody can take the course, before becoming a board member and if you have to take the course every year. And here's what the Florida legislature did last week. You can now become certified within 1 year prior to becoming a board member. So you can always say if you want to be, if you're running for the board, you can say, I'm already certified. Look how interested I've been. You know, I've done my homework beforehand. I got, it means so much to me, I bothered to get certified before I even became a board member. So you now can do that. You can become certified within 1 year of becoming a board member, or once you do get elected to the board, you have 90 days to get certified as well.
And the legislature also resolved the issue as to whether or not you have to become certified each and every year. And they passed a law that says you don't have to become certified every year as long as you continuously serve on the board of directors. However, if you miss 1 year of service on the board, you must go back and become certified again.
Did the Florida legislature finally do away with the law that allowed you to avoid taking a course to become certified by signing that dumb affidavit that swears that you know everything there is to know about condo law?
Yeah, unfortunately, I would have loved to see the legislature do that, but they did not. But our listeners, of course, are smart enough to know that a few hours out of their life spent taking a course is a lot more beneficial and fun than signing that silly affidavit. And by the way, Karen, that wasn't the only change to condominium and HOA law that happened last week. As a matter of fact, there were even a host of changes to Florida's insurance law that's going to have effect on the condo and HOA residents of this state. And we're going to talk about them probably next week or the week after. But let's talk about that story that we started to talk about before the break. And here's a story that's going to make diehard sport fans smile.
Go Heat.
Especially, well, not the Heat just yet. Last night, even the Tampa Bay Lightning even got up to their 1-0 start against the Boston Bruins, and it looks like they're headed to play for the Stanley Cup. But a guy that lives in an HOA in Brandon, Florida, is a Tampa Bay Lightning fan. And as our hockey fans out there know, Tampa Bay is kicking butt in the NHL playoffs and is one series away from playing for the Stanley Cup. All they got to do is get past the Bruins at this point. Well, this homeowner was excited about this, so he put a small sign up in his front yard that says, Go Bolts, which of course means Go Lightning.
Let me guess, and the association told him to take down his sign.
How did you guess that? That's incredible.
Well, the board actually... yeah. The board actually said that the only signs that were allowed in the community were security signs.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this guy do? He uses a little ingenuity and changes the sign to now read protected by Go Bolts Security.
Yeah,
Go Bolts.
But it doesn't end there. The guy wasn't finished. This guy took the time and he read the bylaws and he saw that flags were allowed under the governing documents. So he hung a Tampa Bay Lightning flag over his garage door. And what else is the guy doing? He's refusing to shave and is raising money for pediatric cancer research by having a Tampa Bay Lightning beard-a-thon. And the guy apparently shows ingenuity and a good heart.
Yeah, well, I'm sure pediatric cancer is very happy, and, you know, that's fantastic. I'm not being sarcastic. I really, truly mean that. You know, do we open a Pandora's box, Eric, when we let this guy fly his flags and post signs because his favorite team made the playoffs? Or are the rules the rules? Suppose his neighbors hate the Lightning and want to fly a flag for the San Jose Sharks. Is that a hockey team, Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're still in the playoffs, aren't they? And someone else wanted to post a sign for the Boston Bruins, obviously. Either everyone is allowed or nobody is allowed. You know, that's the position I'd take.
All I know is that my neighbors start displaying a Miami Heat banner or flags. They're getting sued, I'm telling you right now. That wouldn't be only a nuisance to me, but if you hang a Heat flag in my community, that's intentional infliction of emotional distress. So help me, you're going to find yourself as a defendant. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be able to cope.
Hey,
I think you better come to terms with the fact that the Heat will be the NBA champs this year and your Knicks have been out of the playoffs for weeks now.
Bite your tongue.
Hey, Eric, I got a question for you. Why did he have a sign that said, Go Bolts?
Go Bolts?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Lightning Bolts?
Lightning? Oh. I just assumed that they had a nickname, like the Ning or something.
Oh,
that's
God.
What I've been told.
That scares me. We got Scott handling some very, very difficult cases.
Yeah,
in the
can tell.
If he can't figure out Go Bolts, it's making me a little nervous there.
Nuts and bolts.
All right. Well, listen, Mr. Law and Order, I'm guessing you wouldn't have a problem with this guy if he flew one of those stupid Yankee flags and put up Yankee signs all over his front yard.
As a matter of fact, Scott, if I were on the board, I would vote in favor of making it mandatory for every home in the HOA to be painted with blue Yankee pinstripes in exchange for free monthly maintenance. How about that? So you really can't go by me.
Wow, you know, you can only make Florida tackier by making it New York.
Yeah, well, a real quick return to employment for a second. I'm practicing condo and HOA law now for nearly 20 years in Florida, and I thought I had basically handled every type of lawsuit that associations normally get involved in. But this week, a new one came along, and I'm curious if any of our listeners have any experience in this area. I represent an association in Dade County that was actually sued in federal court in New York for violating a collective bargaining agreement that it signed with a union by allegedly failing to make payments to the union on behalf of the employees that worked at the condominium. Strange case.
Since when are there unions down here? Isn't that something that basically exists up north?
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Well, you know, as we all know, and I found out in law school, Florida is an at-will employment state. So unions are few and far between down here. Typically, a condo or HOA hires a management company, and the employees of the condo wind up working for the management company or remain employed by the condo. But, you know, usually they're not unionized.
Yeah, well, very strange case. 20 years, I never had anything like it before. So if any associations out there are also part of a collective bargaining agreement with a union, I would love to know about it. Yeah. Something that's really unique. Again, give us a call at 954-983-1112. We only got about half a minute left. So in that half a minute, how about we take predictions? Bulls Heat, Scott. What's your prediction?
Heat and six.
Heat and six. Karen?
I would like to say the Heat in five.
The Heat in five. I'm going with Bulls in seven.
Oh!
Bulls in seven.
You did not.
All right, and we're going to know, I guess, game seven and the other series starts at 1 o'clock today. Who do you like? Who's winning game seven?
Grizzlies.
It starts at 3:30.
It starts at 3:30. All right, yeah, I'm going with the Grizzlies, too. All right? Okay, everybody, have a great week. We will see you again next week here on Condo Craze and HOAs. Be well.